This coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Vayetze. And of course, we begin with Yaakov Avinu leaving the land of Israel and going to the land of Aram, to Laban Ha'arami. And we're told that along the way, he sees a Sula Mutzav Arza, he sees a ladder on the ground, Rosho Magia Shamaima, and it goes all the way up to Shamaim. V'neim Al-Chelo Kim Olim V'yardimbo, there were Malachim going up and down on it. So Mori V'Rabbi Rav Shechter noted that angels also refer to the Malachim of each of the nations of the world, that they moved up and down the ladder, hence to the rise and fall of every nation and country. So when Hashem showed Yaakov the ladder and he wanted him to ascend it, Yaakov didn't want to experience the descent afterwards, and Hashem in essence told him not to worry, right? The Jewish people continue to exist unlike every other nation in the world. The existence of the Jewish nation, as Rav Shechter always likes to say, is lamala min hateva. We're supernatural. And in that regard, we're compared to the moon. We get bigger and smaller, but we never totally disappear. The Medrash says that there were 15 generations between Avram and Shlomo HaMelech, just like the waxing of the moon, until the 15th day of the month. But after Shlomo HaMelech passed away, everything went downhill for 15 generations until Tzidkiyahu was blinded like the waning of the moon. And then the moon appeared invisible for 18 hours. That's the current Tekufa, that's the current time we're living in. But we're not out for the count. We haven't disappeared as yet. And Kilo Yitosh Hashem Amo, we're not going to do that as well. We're also told, Vayira Yaakov Me'od, Vayitzelo, I'm sorry, Vayira Vayomar Mano Rama Komazah. Right? Yaakov was fearful. He couldn't believe that he fell asleep. Now, why was Yaakov fearful and apologetic for the fact that he fell asleep? So the Netziv suggests that if he had such a profound experience while he was sleeping, the experience would have been that much greater had he been awake. So Yaakov was apologetic that he squandered the opportunity. We can get the inspiration while we're sleeping and passively going through the motions. But if we really want real inspiration, we have to seek it out. When Yaakov was inspired, his reaction was to look at the place as a place of awe. We sometimes look for Hamishkeit in our shul, seeking a warm place that's totally socially comfortable. But to really gain from the experience, you need to have a sense of awe, right? Shul is not about Hamish. Shul is about awe. And that's one of the great things that has to happen when we find Hamokom, the place, right? We're also told, Achai me'ayin atem, when Yaakov gets to Haran, he calls out to the brothers and he says, my brothers, me'ayin atem, where are you from? So when Yaakov encounters the shepherds, he immediately criticizes them for gathering water. Yet their reaction was to explain why they were out at the time. Why were they so receptive to Yaakov's criticism? So Yaakov Kamenetsky explains that the key word in this conversation is Achai. Yaakov called them my brothers, and so therefore they were able to see his sincerity. If you want to give mussar to someone, the message would be best received if it comes from a place of concern for the well-being of the recipient of the mussar. And that's a very, very important concept. We're also told that Yaakov Avinu makes a deal with Laban, and he decides, Avad Chasheva Shaman Rachel Bitcha Ktana. He says, I'll work for 7 years for Rachel, your daughter, your young daughter. And so Yaakov does work. It was like a few days. What does it mean that it was Kiyamim Achadim? When you're waiting anxiously for something, doesn't it usually mean that it feels like it takes a lot longer? So the Sfasema says that Kiyamim Achadim doesn't mean that the days went by quickly, but rather they were united in purpose to get back to Eretz Yisrael. You know, we often lose sight of our broader mission in life, and Yaakov never lost focus despite the many years that he spent in Laban's house. And so Yaakov starts having babies and babies and babies, and he picks up a couple of wives along the way. And one of the things that he has, Leah has the first three, and then she names the fourth one Yehuda, because she says, Hapam, this time, Odes Hashem, I'll offer thanksgiving to Hashem. The great Spanish guy notes that Hashem sends his help and assistance to the Jewish people through two primary means. He conducts miracles overtly, and he conducts miracles covertly. When a miracle occurs overtly, it's easy for one to see Hashem's hands in the daily events, and we need to thank him. However, when we recognize the hand of Hashem, even when he acts covertly, in those moments he feels an even more overwhelming desire to continue to protect us and help ease our continued success. And so the Ben Ish Chai adds that this may help us understand why we say in the Hallel that Meis Hashem Haisa Zosi Niflos Be'einenu. This event's from Hashem, it's wondrous, and immediately adds, Zayom Asa Hashem Nagila V'nismecha Bo. This is the day created by Hashem, we'll rejoice and be thankful. When we recognize the hand that Hashem plays in daily events, we merit to experience more of Hashem's hand. And that's why we continue to say, Ana Hashem, Hoshia, Na. Then we're told, Vayelech Reuven, Reuven went, Vayimsadu Daim, and he brings home the mandrakes, whatever the mandrakes are. It's an exciting conversation. And that whole episode between Rachel and Leah is really something we should spend some time and try to understand what Rachel does, how she gives up at night, why sometimes a person thinks that giving up the chance to do something is going to give you the chance in the future, and how that affects Chalel Shabbos Achad Bishvil Sheyishmo Shabbos Osharbe. But Leah's response is also interesting. Yaakov comes home and she says, I like Tavo Kisachor Secharticha. You should come to me. I rented you today. Is that a proper way for Abos and Imos to discuss marriage? It's really a rental agreement. So Sforno explains that the essence of their connection was like Adam and Chava before the Eitz Hadas, to connect together in order to populate the nation. But this seems out of place and almost nasty. Is the ideal marriage one where the couple doesn't connect, it merely relate in order to procreate? So Revolba adds that we often assume that the me and the we in relationships are the opposite of Yiras Hashem, that there's love, and the opposite is Yiras Hashem, but the opposite is actually true. When a couple connects on a spiritual level, when they set goals in their lives that are above just their needs and wants, but strive for a more global focus and purposeful union beyond themselves, then the love grows, because it's not only about the couple connecting physically. Their souls are working together towards something more permanent and more valuable. And they're able to nurture one another and something they continue to build together. And that's a great thing, and it's a wonderful thing. Yaakov later has 11 tribes, and he works another 6 years for cattle. And then he winds up going home. And at the end of the parsha, we're told, V'Yaakov halach ledarko, that Yaakov Avinu went on his way, V'ayif gubo malachei Elokim, and he saw malachei Elokim, he saw angels. That Yaakov Avinu was able to see Malachim going up and down a ladder after spending 14 years in Yeshiva Shem Be'Eber is understandable. But how are we supposed to take and understand the fact that after he was in Laban's house, he was also still able to see Malachi Elohim? So Rav Aaron Lichtenstein regularly would highlight and identify the fact that a person in yeshiva has to maximize his time and work on his relationship with Hashem so that the relationship is strong enough to outlast his career in yeshiva. If we work on ourselves and our connection to Hashem during the formative years, we'll be able to see angels in yeshiva, but we'll also see the angels even afterwards. We'll see Hashem's involvement there as well. Finally, in the Haftorah that we will read this coming Shabbos, we come to the book of Hosea. And Hosea, in this regard, turns around and uses the language of Shuva Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha. And the Medrash comments that Reuven was the one who is identified, Ata Pasachta B'Tshuva Tchila. You're the one who started to open with Tshuva, and so your descendants would also be the first. Hosea would also be the first, telling Bnei Yisrael to turn back to Hashem. The only thing is, both Reuven and Hosea were not the first ones to engage in their job, so why are they credited? So the Meshech Chachma explains that Reuven was the first to realize that embedded in his need to ask for Tshuva from his father is the need to ask from Hashem, whose relationship with you is clearly strained, as indicated by the ability to sin. Reuven saw this and he worked on his tshuva. And Hosea highlighted the message within tshuva. And so they were the ones who made the links between them clear. And for that, we give them the credit. And we certainly recognize them as Ata Pasachta. You're the ones who started the process. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a chance that we should be able to be the ones who also can start a process. And may HaKadosh Baruch Hu be Machzeras B'Tshuva Shlema in front of him. And may that period in time be fully accepted. B'mheira B'yameinu. Everybody have a great day and a fantastic, amazing Shabbos. Shabbat Shalom to all.